first lesson is taken from the book of Job, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering to each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going to and fro on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your power. It's on the man himself, not everything." And Satan went out into the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. And the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters are feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you." And this Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And all this Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going to and fro on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Just trying to get it broken. There we go. Church.
It was great.
Really good. Made some great friends. We bought our first house. Everything was cracking, you know? We just got married and we married, what, about quite a year, haven't we? Everything was great, you know? New horizons. Not far from the seaside. But anyway. In approximately 1987, I had suspicions that my boss was up to something. He wasn't around very much, visiting places unnecessarily, and I discovered, I don't know how I discovered, but I discovered that he was claiming travelling expenses that were nearly equal to his salary. Okay? He was on the fiddle big time. Now, the morale amongst the staff and the team below me was very low. It was very low because of this. And as his deputy, a staff said to me, come on, we've got to do something. So, Liz and I obviously are talking to Liz a lot about this. We prayed about it. I'm sure we did. I can't remember an occasion, but I'm sure we did. Because I go home and I tell Liz everything. I'm sure you're the same. But I felt I had to report it, so I did. HR, Human Resources, my personnel department, as they used to be, asked me to record all the episodes in a diary over the next few months and then wait for the investigation to start. You trust the people that, you know, that are associated with you, don't you? Well, in the autumn of 1987, the fateful day came when my boss was summoned to HQ. And he came up to me and he said, come on, what's this all about? Well, I couldn't lie, could I? And I said to him, I looked him in the eye and I said, when you go to this meeting, you'll find out. So he looked at me thinking, what's going on? I remember it. So anyway, during that meeting, he was confronted with the accusation and the supporting evidence that I'd given to him. Understandably, on his return, he wasn't in the best of moods. I thought to me, to say the least. Anyway, he'd been given a written warning. That was it. That was it. I was scotsman. I thought, okay. I thought at least they'd do something, you know? But they didn't. But anyway, nothing more happened. Then it was swept under the carpet. Now, I've got an idea, because corruption, where I was your life. So you know what it's like, in public service, they sort of put it away and it was all covered up. However, although he had a warning, he was still allowed to be my boss. In charge of me and the team under me. They started one of the most difficult times of my life. Well, you can imagine, can't you? I was ostracised, ignored, isolated. You mean that? Yeah. Put in a corner, ignored, and thinking, and I thought, I'm a good dad, I'm all right, you know, a few things wrong, but, you know, you all did the same, I know, but, you know, we try, life, Christian life is not an easy journey, is it? Anyway. Also, Liz had an abusive phone call to which we convinced was connected, and it was really, really hard to go. So with a young family, my eldest son, he's now 33, he's one, to support, I had to keep going. We trusted that God was with us at all times. Although, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it felt like he was a longing forever. You been there? Your God is it? You know, if God is here, didn't feel like that, friends. God, 30 years ago, you still have that too. Anyway, this went on for months, and I prayed every day, God, change the situation. God, change the situation. I can remember I was on the phone to Mum. Mum, you all liked it? Yes, you do. Right, Mum? Nothing seemed to change. I was like I was in the middle of the desert, and I was looking for an oasis, and one wasn't there. I knew God was around, but it seemed so far away. Anyway, I can remember crying, God help me, where are you? I need your deliverance. And I was consumed, friends, with almost every waking hour of this situation. You know, I was consumed with it. It just felt like you're in prison. Anyway, I tried to work it out for myself, how to get out of this. I investigated starting my own business, going to a wealth development agency. Well, forget that. that was a non-starter. I thought about looking for other jobs, change, having a career change. I was talking to a friend of mine looking at computer programming. Well, that would have been useless anyway. But anyway, nothing seemed to fit. Nothing seemed to fit at all. Anyway, January 1988, Liz was 7 months pregnant with our second, my daughter, and I applied and was interviewed for a job in Manchester. I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have this job, let them offer it to me. And guess what? They did. What a dilemma I was in, because I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have this job, then let them offer it to me. You know? Do you know what? I didn't accept it because I didn't have peace in him. I knew deep down it wasn't the place for me. And I thought, oh, God, you're fast, you know? Have you ever read the story of Hezekiah in the Bible when he laid out the letter from Sennacherib before God in the temple? Yeah, and God answered, I did that. Lord, you see this letter. Anyway, although it was a way out, we knew it wasn't the right way out. Do you know what? They gave me another fortnight. I had a consultant plastic surgeon on the phone to me. They said, okay, we'll give you another fortnight. I thought, I don't want another fortnight. Anyway, I knew it was I thought, what do I do? Anyway, I still refused it. But although it was all way out, I didn't take it because I knew it here. It wasn't the way that God wanted for me. Anyway, the days, weeks, and months went by, and I was becoming more and more desperate crying out to God. In May, spring bank holiday 1988, approximately 1 year after I reported my boss, I was hoovering, right, in our bedroom, in our house that we had in Wales. And I remember it distinctly, okay? Anyway, but do you know what? Tears were streaming down my face. Excuse me. Anyway, don't worry, I'm alright. I'm just emotional because Anyway, tears were streaming down my face and I was crying, literally crying out to God. God, I need to hear you. Anyway, I felt I was on the edge of a nervous breakdown. I'm not particularly nervous, but. I'm sort of rough, and I thought this situation was affecting me right to the core. And I said, God, I need to hear from you. I was on the edge. I was desperate. Literally within a few minutes, there was a knock on our front door. Liz opened it. And there was our minister standing there. And a lovely, lovely man, fantastic man of God. He sadly died last year. And he said, I've come as a messenger. Amazing. He said, I was driving down to Ellen Street. It's true, it's what he said. So I was driving down to Ellen Street, you probably know where it is actually, in Aberdeen, right in the sticks in South Wales. I won't bother going. So one horse now, even a horse left. Right. Anyway, that's right. I was driving down the door in this thing, he said, and I heard God say to me audibly, get your Bible out of your book box, read Psalm 37, the first 15 verses, and go right up now to Carol, this is a word for me. I was stunned. Well, you can imagine how I felt. Worse than this. Anyway, relief, peace, reassurance swept over me when I read that God would deliver me, the reading that Phil read. He would deliver me at some point, but we had to stay for the time being and enjoy safe pasture. To trust him, to make him my delight, put him first, to be still, to be patient, don't be worried, don't be angry, it'll be okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Wonderful! Do you know what? What happened? What do you think happened? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Honestly, I had to hang on to that, friends, for another 18 months. Going with the same routine day after day. I didn't know what the end would be. I didn't know it would have to be 18 months. But I knew that God had spoken. I was right at the edge. On the edge. I knew that. Every day was a battle, fighting against frustration, longing, stress, trying to pray, trying to trust, trying to persevere, trying to put God first. It was hard for us, friends. It was harder than breaking rocks, I'm sure. It's like dragging a heavy burden around all the time, like the proverbial ball and chain. Now, Romans 5:3 says, rejoice in suffering. Rejoice in your suffering. Well, I tell you what, that's easier said than done. Yeah, that's easier said than done. Well, it says, rejoice in your suffering. Because that was what part of what God required me to go through. Although the situation at work became even tougher, I had God's promise to hold on to it for me. Was it easy? No, far from it. But I knew God would deliver us, although I didn't know how. Out of the blue, in approximately 1989, October, 2.5 years after reporting my boss, I was speaking to an ex-colleague of mine on the phone, and he said, hey, John, have you seen this job going in Milton Keynes? He said, yeah, but he said, where's the phone number? Do you know what? I phoned it, and that was it. Within 8 weeks, friends, we left. We don't say it's gone, like that. The Milton Keynes job was earmarked for someone else. And I know that absolutely for a fact. Some of you that work in the NHS, you know that happens. Alright? And as soon as I went there for the interview, we knew that was the place God wanted for me, and I got the job. God's provision, friends, was better than anything I could have constructed for myself. Everything was brand new, I could build my own team, the atmosphere was great, everything was perfect. Honestly, it was amazing. And on December 31st, 1989, we moved to Wellington. And one of the happiest moments of my friends was on that day, he was driving across the Severn Bridge. With a car loaded up and stuff. And I thought, can I just help God? And I unlocked the door and I was through. Amazing. Praise the Lord. We've been here ever since. Now, so why does God allow tough times to occur in our lives? You know, because friends, you will have tough times. If you've already had them, and you might be going through some at the moment, if you haven't had any, you will have difficult situations. I'm sure it'll be difficult to mind. And why do problems arise which are not our fault? Which seem unfair. Do you know, friends, sometimes there is no answer. God knows. And we can ask him one day. But let's look at briefly some things that Scripture teaches us. Romans 8:29 says, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Do you know, God wants to mold you and me and to refine us to be like Jesus. And often that's not an easy process. You sang a song this morning. You know, God will give you my all. Do you know, when we surrender to God, we have to think what we're doing. We are giving God permission to deal with every area of our lives. For us, it's not submission. To mold us, to knock. I've got so many corners that God needs to still knock off me. You know? When we submit to God's will, we're allowing to mold us and find us as he thinks fit. There's another scripture. Philippians 3:10 says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow. Jesus knows, you know, friend, Jesus knows how you feel. He knew how I feel. He knew how I felt, I should say. Because he was rejected. He was in pain. He was lonely sometimes. And he knew betrayal. So if you just have a look at Job, those first three chapters of Job, do you know what? That is a fascinating portion of scripture. Because we get a little glimpse what it's like in the heavenly realms. We have this picture, you know, aren't there the devil there? Do you know what they communicate? I believe that's probably not the only time that God and Satan discuss God's children. I believe it still happens. Yeah? Do you know what? If you love Jesus, you will be discussed in the heavenly realms. And I believe between God and Satan. But what can we learn? Well, in Revelation 12, it says, Satan is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. Who accuses them? He accuses you and me before God day and night. It says that in Revelation 12. Yeah? So he is accusing you, saying, Carl, it's rubbish because he does this and he's done that and he's done that. And God says, yeah. You know, but he's my child. And you are God's child, friends. Excuse me. So what do we know? God is in control. Amen. God, do you know, God is in control of your situation. If you're in a tough time, if you're in a tough spot, submit it to God, surrender yourself to God, because God will be in control of it. He allowed Satan only to do certain things. He took everything away from him, and he gave him illness. But he was only allowed to do it, because God was pleased with him. He said, have you seen my servant Job? Wonderful. And then Satan accused him. Interesting, isn't it? When tough times come, friends, worship God. Praise him. Job did. And he was in a lot worse situation than any of us have been, I'm sure. Easier said than done, but keep going. God will prove himself faithful to you. Don't get angry at God. I've heard people say, I got angry at God. I'm thinking, we've got no right to get angry at God. We mustn't get angry at God. That is exactly what the enemy, what the accuser wants to do, wants you to do. God knows what he is doing. Do we trust him or not? He said, we trust him. You know, it's easy to trust God when the sun's out. We're going on holiday tomorrow, and it is, isn't it? But it's tough to trust God when we go through a tough time. Chapter 2, verse 9. Job's wife said, curse God and die. He said, no, you're talking to stupid woman. He's talking like a foolish woman. He said, you know, in Job 13, he said, even though God slays me, I'll still trust him. What a man, what an example. So don't compare our situations, friends, because understand it's not fair either. Well, look at them. You know, I've been saying, look at Melvin. You know, it's not fair. Well, do you know what? God is sovereign, friends. When we submit to God, Don't look at other people. You know, just trust him. So, to conclude, friends, our faith, your faith, my faith, will be tested. Now, in my training, I don't do much of it now at all, because it's a bit old technology. I used to cast gold. Ever melted gold? Ever worked? It's fantastic stuff. It's brilliant stuff to work. But you know what? There's only one way to purify gold. Do you know what that is? Put the flame on it to melt it. And then what happens? All the impurities come to the top. You skim him off. Do you know that's what God does, friends? Because you're gold. You're good as gold. You're better than gold, actually. But God is in the refining business. And that's what he does to us. So our faith will be tested. God is faithful to his promises. God knows best. You know, John Gilead spoke a fortnight ago. And he mentioned Job. And he said, God is in control. That is the bigger picture. I can only see Carl's little picture, yeah? My life. God can see the whole thing, everything. He can see the big picture, and he fits everything together. Another thing, friends, God hears our prayers. Sometimes he takes us to the limit, or even past what we think is our limit. And God's timing is perfect. When God opened this job up for me and young kids, it was perfect time. It was the perfect place, the perfect job. Wonderful. God's provision is the best. Try not to work it out for yourselves, friends, because you might end up struggling too far. I could have taken that job in Manchester, and because we're quite a small community. And do you know what? I've heard later there were real problems up in that job in Manchester. Yeah? It would have been young, I would have had a good promotion, and I knew it wasn't the right thing. you know, when your peace gets unsettled, go with that. You know, the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, I don't give it to you as the world gives peace. He said, I give it to you, I give you my peace. The peace that he gives doesn't mean tranquility of circumstances, but that he is with us in the circumstances. Yeah? When he moves, nothing can stop him. So don't give up praying, friends. Whatever you're facing, submit to him. Talk to him about it and trust him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves us individually. Lord, we thank you that you see our circumstances, even in the minutest detail. Lord, we thank you that you listen to our prayers. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, so we submit to you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to endure what you have for us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation that you have wrought for us, that you have bought for us. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we may glorify you. Lord, as Job glorified you in his plight, Lord. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, that you will deliver us as you delivered him. Lord, as you said about Job, his end was greater than his beginning. Lord, you restored everything and more back to him, his health and everything that he owned. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your provision for me. I just pray, Lord, for all those that are here today that are going through tough times. Lord, that they may feel your closeness and your loving arms.